is NHL Induction Class. Conversations with the Hockey Hall of Fame Class of 2024. Here's Kenny Albert.
Hi, everybody. Natalie Darwich was one of the most lethal scorers in women's hockey history. In college, she won two national championships at the University of Minnesota and set a single-season scoring record with 114 points. With Team USA, Darwich won three Olympic medals and three World Championship gold medals. She holds records for the most points in a single tournament, most goals in a single tournament, and the most career goals while representing the red, white, and blue. In this episode, Natalie tells us why she first started playing hockey as a young girl, her experience as a first-time Olympian on home ice, and her favorite moment of her Hall of Fame career. Here's my conversation with Natalie Darwich. Natalie, you've been inducted into a few halls of fame in your illustrious career, the USA Hockey Hall of Fame, the IIHF Hockey Hall of Fame. What will it mean to you to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto?
It's a huge honor. I think this is obviously the pinnacle of all of them. You know, everybody back home here in Minnesota is like, what Hall of Fame is it? There, you've been in a few, like, which one is this one now? And I'm like, this is the one, this is the big one. I think all of us would say, as every person probably went in, is you don't start out playing hockey by hoping to be in the Hall of Fame. It's just a byproduct of what you did on the ice and off the ice. And it's a huge honor, and the cliche thing of individual award in a team sport. I mean, I've been on great teams, have great line mates, great coaches. So I just was fortunate enough to have a good career and to do enough to get into the Hall of Fame. And it would mean a lot to my family. I know family back home here in Minnesota is just super excited to get out there, and a lot of them haven't seen the Hall of Fame before, and then knowing that a family member is going in is going to be extra special. So just super honored and humbled and grateful.
A close friend will be inducted as well. What does it mean to you to be inducted alongside your longtime teammate and great friend, Chrissy Wendell-Pohl?
It just makes it more special. It's the cherry on top that not only are you going into the Hall of Fame, but somebody who you really, Chrissy and I have been together every step of the way, other than youth hockey. We've been together on the U.S. national team at the same time and in college at the same time, and teammates. I'm just always fortunate that we are in the same color jersey and not against each other, because she's just a dynamic, tough, scary player, and is certainly very, very deserving of this honor as well. So it just makes it even more special knowing that our families are going out there together, and we have such a background of going to Olympics together and traveling together and going through the tough times and the good and bad of hockey. So just super excited that, you know, we can go in together and share this special moment together. We actually went into the University of Minnesota Hall of Fame together too. And that was a lot of fun, just to go in with your close friend and a buddy who's been through the ranks with you.
Now take us back to your childhood. What inspired you as a young kid in Minnesota to begin playing the sport of hockey?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I think you're a product of your surroundings, and that kind of molds you. And, you know, my dad was a three sport athlete growing up, in hockey. He was a really good hockey player. And then I was the youngest sibling of two others. I had an older sister and an older brother, and naturally the youngest sibling gets carted around, and it was a choice of, you want to go with mom and Nikki, my sister, to tap dance, or you want to go with dad and Ryan to hockey. And I was immediately in my dad's vehicle to go to the rink with them. And so I just kind of grew up becoming a rink rat, watching hockey. And then I just was persistent with my parents and bugged them and said, when do I get to play like Ryan? At that time, there was no other ponytails on the rink. So my mom was a bit hesitant to allow her, you know, youngest daughter to go to the rink and play with the boys. But on my fifth birthday, in October, I turned five, and I said, I get to play hockey now. And they followed through with their agreement, and the rest is history.
Who are some of your hockey heroes as a youngster?
Yeah, like, you know, I did an interview the other day, and they were like, well, what females did you look up to? And I was like, there really wasn't any. And you know, we're not mainstream, and things aren't on instantly on your cell phone. Didn't have cell phones back then. So, I mean, for me, I grew up watching, you know, top high school player boys in the state, met Gopher men's hockey. The North Stars were around at that time. So I grew up watching Neil Broughton, the Minnesota North Stars. And then Mike Modano came on the scene, and he was my favorite player. And then from a college level, I watched a guy named Mike Crowley. He wore number 20 with the Gophers, and he was just a dynamic, smooth hockey IQ player. And he wore number 20. So that's why I wanted to be number 20. And so that's kind of who I had to follow. I heard of, there was whispers of other females around the state playing, like Chrissy and maybe the Broat sisters, but I didn't have firsthand knowledge. I never faced another ponytail until I reached, until I switched over to playing girls hockey and high school hockey in seventh grade.
You mentioned Neil Broughton. He was a member of the Miracle on Ice United States gold medal winning men's hockey team in 1980. 18 years later, in 98, women's hockey was introduced at the Olympic level in Nagano. What are some of your memories watching those games?
Yeah, that was my first taste of, you know, of seeing and having the dream come alive. I think I was 14 years old. And that was my first taste of, like, this is pretty special. And maybe I have a future. Maybe this, I can put this on the board of a goal I want to attain. But it, watching them, and obviously, you know, Cammy Granato, Karin Bai, AJ Malesko, who's now, you know, doing a lot of broadcasting, they were a big part of creating a foundation for women's hockey and paving the way and making it grow. And so it's the people that came before you that, you know, you have to thank and appreciate. So, I think that lit the fire for a lot of little girls. And it, you know, things are evolving and continuing to do so today.
You began competing with the national team as a teenager. What was it like the first time you stepped out on the ice with some of the players you just mentioned who were there representing the United States in 98, and with teammates and opponents, many of whom were much older than you?
Yeah. I got my first call up on the U.S. national team when I was 15. So that was literally on the heels of them winning a gold medal. So, you know, next November, I'm walking into the locker room with a lot of veterans who, or, you know, who have a gold medal around their neck. So not only that, add in the factor of I'm probably 10 to 15 to 20 years younger than some of them. But they were amazing. You know, I started out on the U.S. team wearing number 22, and Cammy Granato wore number 21. So I got to stand next to her in the dressing room and in the lineup on the blue line for the anthem. And she set the bar high, and she showed everybody else how you treat everybody else, how you welcome people, how you guide them. And so she was a huge part of my career and mentoring me and instilling great values in me. You know, and as we got going with USA Hockey, it was myself, Chrissy, and Cammy on a line together, and quite honestly, could be one of the best women's hockey lines in history that we were together. It was just so much fun to play with each of them. And but yeah, going into that locker room, being 15 years old, and you know, but on the ice was my common denominator. I was like, you know, on the ice we're all equals, and that's where I can do my thing. And I'm not young on the ice, and I can go play, and that's where I prove myself. And then obviously gain the respect of my teammates. And but I had to grow up fast, and at the same time, I think it was special that and worked out that I was a young sibling of two others that guided me. And so I was okay with going in the locker with players that were older with me, because I was the youngest in our family.
You made your Olympic debut on home ice 2002 in Salt Lake. I was there, fortunate to call so many of those games. You were 18 years old. You tied for the tournament lead with 7 goals. What was that experience like as an Olympian for the first time in your home country?
Yeah, you said it, Kenny. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play in 2 Olympics in North America, my first one being on home soil. And that obviously doesn't happen too often. So I was very fortunate for that. You know, being 18 years old and be playing against Finland during the day when my friends back home are in science class. It's pretty wild. So it was a lot of fun. And you know, more importantly, you know, I left home 2 years prior to train with the US team. So there's a lot of people along the way that helped me out that were a huge part of me, you know, having success on the ice and being with Team USA and going to the Olympics. I think one of the coolest moments is, you know, after warmups, before each game, before I would head off the ice, I'd find my family and friends and give them a wave. It's just a special moment because there's so much that goes into you getting to that moment. And a lot of people to thank. So that was just a cool moment. I had a really good Olympics. Again, I was on a great line. How do you not have a good Olympics when you're with Cammy and Chrissy? So I was able to score some goals. I think I scored a hat trick against Finland in one of the games. You know, and that was, I think, the first Olympics that the NHL players were in as well. And so that add that dynamic of, you know, I watched Mike Modano growing up with the North Stars, and now I'm talking to him in the village and getting his autograph and picture and having, you know, conversations with him. And as an 18-year-old kid, you know, I brought back a lot of memories that not a lot of 18-year-olds are able to do. So super fortunate and grateful for all that.
What were some of the biggest lessons you learned from Cammy Granato, who came from such an amazing hockey family?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Cammy just lived it every day. And that's just, she was authentic. And she was just herself every day. And she just came with an extraordinary set of values and principles that she lived her life by. And so I don't think it was Cammy doing anything special. I think it was just Cammy being Cammy, which is, she's extraordinary. And, you know, when you have a leader that's selfless, I remember we were in Lake Placid, and a lot of players brought vehicles out, and you know, I was only like 16 or 17 at that time. I didn't have a car out there, so she had to fly out somewhere for like a media appearance. And I remember she came in and gave me the keys to her Chevy Blazer for the week. She knew like I like to just kind of go do my thing and get out. And and I remember, you know, my parents taught me anytime you borrow something, you give it back better than when you found it. So I washed it, filled it up with gas, and gave it back to her. And she came back and she kind of just gave me the, you filled it up and washed it, huh? And I go, yeah. She goes, that's why I gave it to you, you know, cause I knew you're going to take care of it. So that was just Cammy. Like she understood people. She knew we were all different, but understood how we all ticked, and she got the best out of us and made us follow in her footsteps because she was just a great leader and a great person.
Now, your second Olympics in North America, fast forward to 2010 in Vancouver. You were the Team USA captain, advanced to the gold medal game against Canada on the road in front of nearly 17,000 fans. What was that environment like?
Well, it's fun for the other team because they won it. But, you know, it was fun. It to play in front of a packed crowd, obviously, where the Canucks play Olympics. We knew, you know, it was obviously the reverse of Salt Lake, where, you know, majority of the crowd was hometown for us. And now we were going against the crowd in Vancouver. And unfortunately, we weren't able to silence them or to take them out of the equation. But to be in an environment like that, special. Again, I was very fortunate to be in two Olympics in North America. And obviously hockey was at the forefront, I think, of those two Olympics. So it was a lot of fun and, just unfortunate, you know, we couldn't, play some good hockey that night. We had a really great season. I think, leading up to the Olympics, I think we had Canada's hand, and unfortunately, we just couldn't deliver in the gold medal game, but, we had a great team. Mark Johnson coached that team, obviously Miracle on Ice as well. And just a lot of good memories taken away from, those Olympics.
4 years later, Sochi, Russia, you returned to the Olympics as a broadcaster with NBC. What was that experience like?
not ever something I thought would be on the table. It was pretty wild. I mean, I was back in Minnesota coaching a high school team, and NBC called up and they were like, hey, would you want to come audition to be an in-studio analysis? And I'm like, do you know who you're talking to? I can barely spit out a sentence, let alone talk on TV. And they did a great job talking me into at least taking a flight out to to see you guys out east and doing a little sample of what it would be like. And they liked me enough that they wanted me to come out to Sochi for the 2014 Olympics. It's pretty cool now looking back how all these stories are intertwined. Obviously met you there, Doc Emmerich, and then obviously Jeremy Roenick met him, and he's going into the Hall of Fame in the same class. So it's just really cool to have these stories intertwine of how you meet the hockey community and how it comes full circle. So, you know, if I didn't do and get out of my comfort zone and do Sochi with NBC, you know, I never would have met Jeremy. And then it's going to be extra special now knowing him going into the Hall of Fame class with him too. So just, those are just really cool stories that happen. You know, it was fun to do NBC and get a taste for obviously what happens behind the camera and in front of the camera and all the work that goes into it. Obviously working alongside Liam McHugh and, Catherine Tappan. Was who I worked with there. And I mean, they're obviously awesome at their job. And it was just really cool to be a part of that and see that. I don't know if it's in my blood, but I'm glad I did it. And it was quite the experience.
Well, you did a terrific job working with Liam and Catherine, who are among the best in the business. Now take us back to your collegiate days with the Gophers, 2005, your final collegiate game. You sealed a second consecutive national title, game-winning goal with 1:08 remaining. Walk us through that moment. What are the biggest memories from that play, that game, that entire run?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, what's your favorite hockey memory? And they automatically think it's the Olympics. And, you know, that is the pinnacle of our sport. But winning two national championships with the University of Minnesota kind of are at the top of my list. And then, you know, to do, you know, I equate collegiate hockey like the NHL. You got so many teams, so many games. It's a grind of a season. Olympics is just, you know, condensed. So, you know, to win back-to-back national championships is pretty darn special and something that's high on my list that we achieved. And so to win that second back-to-back national title, both of the national title games were against Harvard University. And the first one the year before, I think we won 5-2, and the next one was close. We had to score with 1:08 left to seal the victory. And so I just remember looking up at the clock and going 1:08 left. 2 weeks prior, we played the University of Wisconsin and we blew a goal lead. And so for me, it was looking at the clock going, all right, we got 1:08 left to seal this up. Whereas a couple of weeks ago, we let slip by. We still won the game, but we should have never allowed it to happen. And just another like full circle moment. That was the year the NHL was on strike. So Doc Emmerich did that game, that national championship game. And then to meet him at Sochi, and we talked about that for a while there when we were in Sochi about how he did that game and called that game and how fantastic he thought the hockey was. So not only do we win the game with 1:08 left, but you have Doc Emmerich calling the game. So anytime you hear a highlight, you have a legendary person like him voice on it. It's pretty special and just is a cherry on top. But yeah, the University of Minnesota days were phenomenal. A lot of great memories and obviously, yep, those two championships was on a team with Chrissy as well. So
now, speaking of career highlights, a non-hockey question. Tell us about the time as a youngster when you participated juggling in a circus.
Yeah. So in elementary school, at the end of the day, they had just a kind of an enrichment program where the last, you know, 30 minutes of the day, you could sign up to do whatever you wanted to. And my first grade teacher, Mr. K, had a juggling class. And so he started with scarves, balls, went to clubs. And then, you know, there was the machete knives and the fire. Well, word got out that like these elementary kids were juggling in school and were getting really good. Like I could do, you know, behind the back, under the leg tricks with the balls and stuff. Word got out that like nursing homes would have us come and visit. And then the Shrine Circus heard that we were doing this so that we got to perform. So I was picked to do the machetes. So I literally would have a skit where I would hold a ketchup packet in my hand and have an apple and prove to everybody that the machetes were sharp. And then I would squirt the ketchup packet and go, ah, the nursing home lady has had a heart attack because I thought a little, first grader cut her finger off. And then I would wipe it off and then I would juggle the machetes, 10 to 15 rounds and catch them and bow. And, yeah, that was maybe check the box off the list of my, carny career. but yeah, still know how to juggle to this day. And, I think it, a lot of people say it paid off with the hand-eye coordination. Maybe I won some draws because I was good with my hand-eye coordination. I don't know, but, yeah, just a fun story that elementary school kids were juggling and we got a lot of opportunity and limelight because of it.
Well, it sounds like you can do it all and you've done it all in the sport of hockey, player, coach, broadcaster, general manager. What was the biggest challenge along the way?
I think challenges and adversity make us grow. And so, there's a lot that I'm proud of and a lot that, you just got to overcome, whether that's injuries or getting out of your comfort zone, like doing the broadcasting stuff. At the end of the day, I'll never regret getting out of my comfort zone and pushing through a challenge. And so I think it makes you grow as a person. There's going to be times where you don't understand why things happened. But you just got to stay true to your values and who you are as a person and do the right things. And I think that you'll end up on the other side just fine. So, again, I was pretty fortunate in my career. I didn't have many injuries. I had great teammates. I had great coaches. Hockey opened up a lot of doors for me that if I didn't play, I don't know where I would be, So I just feel really fortunate to, if there was challenges as there was an adversity, that I was able to overcome them or work through them and make myself better.
What is your message to young girls interested in playing ice hockey for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, for anybody, I just, hockey for me was something when I woke up in the morning, it was the first thing on my mind. I wanted to play. I was passionate about it. I loved it. It wasn't work for me. I remember my dad would come home and I'd be shooting pucks in the driveway. And he's like, what are you doing? Did someone tell you to do this? And I was like, no, I want to do it, so for me, lit up my eyes and put a smile on my face, and it's something I want to do. So to any little girl or little boy, is find your passion and follow it. I have a 9-year-old boy and a 7-year-old boy right now, and it would be super simple if they loved hockey, but my 9-year-old boy loves racing, and so we're putting him in go-kart racing, and that's what makes his eyes light up and puts a smile on his face, and we're gonna allow him to follow that passion. And so if hockey's that passion for little girls, then follow it. It's a great sport. It's going to open up many doors and for you. And more importantly, you're going to meet a lot of great people in this sport that are going to be lifelong friends.
Well, Natalie, thanks so much for taking the time. It was always so much fun watching you play, working with you as a broadcaster. Tremendous stories. Congratulations again on your induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Thank you so much.
It was so much fun watching Natalie Darwich play in the Olympic Games, and great to hear her relive some of the great moments from her outstanding career. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out our other episodes as I chat with the rest of the 2024 Hockey Hall of Fame class. And be sure to listen to the rest of the NHL's family of podcasts, including NHL Fantasy on Ice. Listen in as Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn provide you with the advice you need to win your fantasy league all season long. The coordinated producers of NHL Induction Class are Bob Bender and Matt Nicholson. Special thanks to editorial consultant Phil Constantino. The executive producer of NHL Productions is Steve Mayer. So long for now, I'm Kenny Albert. And once again, congratulations to Natalie Darwich on her induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame.